Good morning. Hope that all of you are doing well on this Sunday morning. I want to encourage you to take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the book of Acts and chapter 20. We're going to begin to look at this passage today, beginning in verse 13. But before we do so, let's just thank the Lord for this opportunity that we have to be in His presence this morning, even though we are in various places. Lord, we thank You for all that You have done for us. We thank You for Jesus, for the cross, for the resurrection, for the new life that is ours in Christ. And we thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being able to tell others about You. We ask, Lord, that today, as we listen to Your word and as we hear Your voice, that You would minister to us and strengthen us in our own faith. Help us, Lord, to follow the example of the Apostle Paul that we find here in these words. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever had to say goodbye? I'm not referring to the goodbye one gives their family on the way to work or school. I'm referring to the goodbye that involves an extended absence before being reunited, or maybe never being reunited again, such as the young person leaving for college for the first time. Those goodbyes are sometimes difficult. I think of a wife saying goodbye to her husband who is being deployed. And then there's the individual who says goodbye to a loved one who passes away. During recent weeks, many who have died from the coronavirus did not even have the opportunity to say goodbye because they were unable to be at their loved one's bedside. I remember saying goodbye to my cousin Bill, who was dying of cancer. The week before his death, Ruth, my mom, dad, and I visited Bill and his wife, Lynn, and others who had gathered at their home in Beaufort, South Carolina. The atmosphere the day of our arrival was pretty upbeat considering the circumstances. The family had just heard the results of some tests, and they were encouraged that there was a sliver of hope. It was February, and my cousin Bill wanted to talk. And so they wheeled him out on the back deck, and I sat across him in a chair, and it was just Bill, me, and more importantly, the Lord. And we talked on a weekly basis. He, too, was a pastor, and so when we talked, we shared war stories, and we laughed a lot. Talking to him was the highlight in my week, and I miss those days even now. Well, that particular day was different. Bill, who was very weak at the time, said, "I know everybody is feeling positive about the test results, but I know my time is short." He felt that death was imminent. And for a few moments, there was silence. And in that silence and stillness of that time, I was praying, Lord, give me Your words for Bill at this time. Let me tell you something. It's hard to say goodbye to someone you care about whom you will never see again. But I believe it's 10 times more difficult to speak words of wisdom and truth to them at a time of crisis without saying something stupid. God is always gracious. I've found Him always to be faithful when I've prayed. And thankfully that day, as in times past, He gave me words of hope, peace and comfort and assurance from His word that I could share with Bill. And I could sense during our conversation that my cousin's spirit was lifted. After we came back into the house, we stayed a while longer. Bill was getting tired, and it was time for us to head back. We said our goodbyes, and mine was "till I see you on the other side." I knew when I left him that day that I would never see him again in this life. We drove Mom and Dad home and the next day received a phone call from my cousin Janet that Bill had just gone to be with the Lord. Such goodbyes are extremely difficult. I don't think that anyone could ever get used to them. Well, this morning in our text, we have one of those goodbyes. Paul in these verses is saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. These were men Paul had discipled and mentored in ministry for 3 years. They were men he had grown very, very close to. They were men he loved and would miss. They were his friends. And we know from verse 25 that this was a final goodbye for Paul. For he said, "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." Paul knew this. He knew his future was uncertain. This morning, I would like us to consider two parts of Paul's message here to these co-laborers. And the first part is found in verses 18 to 21. And in those verses, Paul reviews his past ministry. And he begins in verse 19 by sharing his motive for ministry in the phrase, "I served the Lord." Paul was not interested in making a name for himself. In fact, Paul saw himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. And that's how he wanted to be known. And that's how he wanted to be remembered by these Ephesian elders and by those in the church. He was careful to let people know that his motive for ministry was spiritual and not selfish. He was motivated by his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he loved with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and served. In verses 18 and 19, he speaks about the manner in which he conducted his ministry. He said to them, You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. The manner in which Paul ministered was exemplary. He lived a consistent life, which anybody could inspect, for he had nothing whatsoever to hide. He served in humility, and not as a religious celebrity demanding that others serve him. His humility was not a sign of weakness, for he had the courage to face trials and dangers that none of us in this life probably have ever faced. Without quitting, he persevered in ministry. Paul was not ashamed to admit to his friends that there had been times of tears. He was a man of honesty. He let people see him as he was before the Lord. His life was an open book. That was the manner in which Paul lived and the manner in which he ministered. In verses 20 and 21, he speaks of the message of his ministry. Now, people in those days, as well as people today, know that his message was widely known, because wherever Paul went, he unashamedly taught and announced that message, whether among believers or unbelievers. His message was simple, and it was always to the point. He told sinners, both Jews and Gentiles alike, to repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This message was the gospel of God's grace, the gospel of God's mercy, the only message that can save the sinner. And so we see in these verses, Paul further reminded these friends that the message he preached was profitable to them. He declared in verse 27, the whole will of God to them. His message was a balanced message, because it included not only the doctrines of the faith, but also the privileges of being a follower of Christ and the responsibilities that belong to each believer in the Christian life. He preached the blessings of the gospel as well as the needs of every believer. And in his preaching, Paul never, ever compromised the message, nor did he go to extremes. He always kept things in balance. Well, in verses 22 to 27, after Paul reviews the past of his ministry among them, he gives a testimony of the present. And in verse 22, Paul says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." In honesty, Paul shared that he was unsure about his future. Here we see the apostle opening his heart to his friends, his brothers and sisters in Christ, and sharing how he felt. Paul did not hide from the fact that he was bound in his spirit to go to Jerusalem, even though he knew the danger, even though he knew the possibility of death that awaited him there. The Holy Spirit had compelled him to go. A lesser man would have probably looked for an excuse or a way out, but not the Apostle Paul. He was too absorbed by his calling. He was too absorbed in his devotion to the Lord Jesus to look for a way out of the trouble that he would encounter in Jerusalem. Well, in his testimony of his present ministry, Paul used six pictures to reveal why he would not quit, why he would not run from his responsibility, but would go to Jerusalem and die for Jesus Christ, if that would be God's will for him. Listen to his words in verse 24. They're powerful. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Paul, almost like an auditor or an accountant, taking an account of an inventory here. Paul took an account of his life's assets and also the liabilities, and he decided to put Jesus Christ ahead of everything else in his life. He had faced this kind of reckoning early in his ministry and many times thereafter. And he had willingly made his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ his priority in his life. For Paul, Jesus was everything. Jesus was everything. His relationship with Christ transcended every other area of his life, which he reveals in pictures to us. In verse 24, we see that he saw himself as also a runner who wanted to finish his race in joyful victory. There are three phrases that are found in this passage. My life is one of them, the race, and the task. And each of these phrases are really key to who the Apostle Paul was. You see, Paul realized that his life was a gift from God, and that God had a special plan for his life, a plan that would be fulfilled in his ministry. Paul was devoted to serving the Lord, and he was motivated by a greater purpose, the making of disciples, which in the end results in the building of Christ's church, the building of the kingdom of God. Moving on, Paul reveals a third picture, a picture of a steward. Paul saw his ministry as something that God had given to him. if you think about it, a steward owns little or nothing in this life, but on the other hand, he possesses all things. Paul's sole purpose in life was to serve his master, the Lord Jesus, and to please him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul said, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." The steward must one day give an account of his ministry. And Paul was ready for that day. He was ready to give an account. And as I thought about that, I had to ask myself, am I ready to give an account to the Lord if today were to be my last day? In fact, it might be good for each of us to ask ourselves that same question. Am I ready to give an account to the Lord? The next picture that we see in these verses is that of a witness. And the task of testifying to the truth of the gospel of God's grace. Now, I believe the idea that is conveyed in these words is that of one who earnestly and sincerely gives a witness, or they tell what they know, what they have seen, what they have experienced in their lives. And here we are reminded in Paul's testimony of the seriousness of the message and also the ministry of one sharing a witness of what they know, what they have seen, and what they have experienced in their lives as it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of the sharing of the gospel with others as a matter of life and death? That is how Paul viewed it. For those without Christ, it is a matter of life and death. Recently, through the news media, we have heard the astounding numbers of people from around the world that are infected with the coronavirus. And they find themselves, many of them, in a life and death situation. However, we live in a world where literally trillions of people today are facing a death far worse and more devastating than the coronavirus. Unknown to them, they are without Christ and are spiritually in a life and death struggle. Paul was a faithful witness, both in the life that he lived and the testimony that he shared. Because he knew that the eternal destiny of lives, the lives of others, depended on that witness. And the same is true for each of us today. The eternal destiny of the lives of others depends on our witness, our sharing what we know, what we have experienced, and what we have seen in our walk and relationship with Jesus. Picture number 5 is that of a herald. We don't think of heralds too much today, but in verse 25 we read, "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." This was not only a goodbye by the Apostle Paul, but was also a picture of his role in God's plan. The word preaching in this particular verse means to declare a message as the herald of a king. Now, a witness tells what has happened to them personally. A witness tells what they have seen, what they have heard, what they have experienced. It's personal to them. But the herald tells the information the king discloses him to declare. Heralds are individuals commissioned and sent with a message, and they must not change that message in any way. And since the king sends them, the people who listen had better be careful how they treat both the message and the messenger. Paul declared the message of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And all who hear it should do themselves a favor and listen to the content of that message and respond appropriately. Paul saw himself as a herald, declaring the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the final picture, and perhaps the most dramatic, is that of a watchman. Listen to his words in verse 26. He says, "Therefore I declare to you to be innocent of the blood of all men." Why does he say that? Where does this come from? I believe he's making a reference to Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. Where we read these words, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, 'You will surely die,' and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin. And I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin. But you will have saved yourself." What a serious calling it was to be a watchman. A watchman had to stay awake and alert. A watchman had to be ready at all times to sound the alarm if he saw danger approaching. A watchman had to be faithful and not fearful, because the safety of many people depended on him. Paul had been a faithful watchman, for he had declared to both sinners and saints the whole counsel of God. Unfortunately, in our world today, we have many who are unlike Paul, many unfaithful watchmen who really think only of themselves. And they're described for us in Isaiah 56, verses 10 through 12, where the prophet writes the Lord's word, "For the leaders of my people, the Lord's watchmen, his shepherds are blind and ignorant. They're like silent watchdogs that give no warning when danger comes. They love to lie around, sleeping and dreaming. Like greedy dogs, they are never satisfied. They are ignorant shepherds, all following their own path and intent on personal gain." Paul saw the importance of warning others, of warning others of the impending judgment that they faced without Christ. And while that's a difficult message sometimes for us to share, we too, like Paul, should be sharing that message, that there is an impending judgment coming, and that those who do not know Jesus will suffer under it. It's difficult to say goodbye when you know you will not see your loved one or friend again in this life. From Paul's experience here in Acts 20, I believe there are some lessons that we can take with us. And the first is this: Paul wanted to leave his friends with words that would build them up and help them to continue in their faith and ministry. He said more to them than, "I'll miss you." And he did more than shed a few tears. His words influenced the lives of those Ephesian elders in that church that he cared very much about. He left them with substantive words of encouragement as well as protection. And second, Paul left them with the example of his life. Whether you realize it or not, how you and I live our lives can have a positive or negative influence and impact on others. As Paul left these friends, never to see them again, he left them with a positive example of a man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He left them with a positive example of a man who gave his life to the purpose of Christ, to the purpose that Christ had given to him and to all who follow him. These men, these leaders, and that church in Ephesus had an example to look back on and to strive for. We praise the Lord Jesus for our servant Paul, who even in thousands of years being passed on and being with the Lord, his life is still an example and testimony to us. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your servant Paul. We thank you for a man who loved you with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and a man who lived only for the purpose that you had given to him in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would help each of us today to live a life similar to that of the Apostle Paul, one that will bring honor and glory to you. And we know, Lord, that that is impossible on our own. We know, Lord, however, that like Paul, you have given us your Holy Spirit. And we ask that like Paul, you would fill us with your Spirit and help us to be a people who, Lord, are unashamed of the gospel, but see it as the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. We thank you for your word. May it be an encouragement. May it be a source of strength to each and every one of us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.